Here are some myths of motherhood that someone once penned one time. They said, somebody said that a child is carried in its mother's womb for 9 months. Somebody does not know that a child is carried in its mother's heart forever. Somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Somebody doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. Somebody said you learn how to be a mother by instinct. Somebody never took a three-year-old shopping. Somebody said being a mother is boring. Somebody never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a driver's permit. How scary that was for my parents. Somebody said good mothers never raised their voices. Somebody never came out the back door in time to see her child hit a golf ball through the neighbor's kitchen window. I threw a rock through the church window one time. Somebody said you don't need an education to be a mother. Somebody never helped a fourth grader with his math. Somebody said you can't love the fifth child as much as you love the first. Somebody doesn't have five children. Somebody said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. Somebody never watched her baby get on a bus for the first day of kindergarten. Somebody said a mother can find all the answers to her child-rearing questions in the books. Somebody never had a child stuff beans up her nose. We're going to get the answer for that one. Somebody said a mother can stop worrying after her child gets married. Somebody doesn't know that marriage adds a new son or daughter-in-law to a mother's heartstrings. Somebody said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. Somebody never had grandchildren. The last one, somebody said your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to tell her that. Somebody isn't a mother. You know, the amazing power and influence of mothers are undeniable. Listen to what President Teddy Roosevelt said. He was so right when he said this, when all is said, it is the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation. It is she who is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she would only realize it, a more honorable as well as a more important position than any man in it. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. You know, there's a woman back in the Old Testament, and she's included in an account in 2 Samuel chapter 21. If you have your Bible there, would like to turn to it, but I'd like to draw your attention to her for just the next few moments. And her name was Rizpah, R-I-Z-P-A-H. Maybe you've never heard of her before. Usually on Mother's Day, you hear sermons on women of the Bible like Mary, the mother of Jesus, or Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, or Hannah, the mother of Samuel. You'll hear sermons on it, but not on Rizpah. Who was Rizpah? Well, Rizpah was one of King Saul's concubines. And in those days, concubinage was a socially acceptable pattern or behavior. And a concubine was a woman, she was either freeborn or she was slave, who was taken by a married man or given to a married man for various reasons. And Rizpah had been given to King Saul, and she had had two sons by him. And by this time, Saul had died, and David was king. There was a famine in the land at this time of this text, and David realized what was going on, that there was this famine in the land because of God's judgment concerning what had happened previously in Israel's history. So he sought the face of the Lord, and the Lord told David, there was a famine in the land because Saul had put the Gibeonites to death. Now, who were the Gibeonites? Well, shortly after the Israelites had first entered the promised land and conquered Jericho, Joshua, the commander of the Israelite army, in the name of the Lord, made a treaty with the Gibeonites to always protect them. And yet, years later, centuries later, King Saul, towards the end of his miserable life, broke that solemn and sacred treaty, and he tried to wipe out the Gibeonites. He tried to kill them all off. So David, when he was king, in the face of this famine, called in the Gibeonites, and he asked them what he could do to make things right with them. And here's what they requested. They requested for 7 of Saul's male descendants be given over to them so that they could kill them and expose their bodies on a hill as some kind of recompense, you know, for what Saul had done to them, to their people before the Lord. And David agreed, and 2 of the 7 men delivered to the Gibeonites were sons of Rizpah. I want to pick up the story in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verses 10 through 14, if you have your Bible there. It says, Rizpah, daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it out for herself on a rock. And from the beginning of the harvest till the rain poured down from the heavens on the body, she did not let the birds of the air touch them by day or the wild animals by night. And when David was told what Aiah's daughter Rizpah, son's concubine, had done, he went and took the bones of Saul and secretly and his son Jonathan from the citizens of Jabesh-Gilead. They had taken them secretly from the public square at Beth-shan, where the Philistines had hung them after they struck Saul down on Gilboa. David brought the bones of Saul and his son David from there, and the bones of those who had been killed and exposed were gathered up. They buried the bones of Saul and his son Jonathan in the tomb of Saul's father Kish at Zelah in Benjamin, and did everything the king commanded. After that, God answered prayer in behalf of the land, it says. Quite a story, isn't it? There are some very good things here to be said about Rizpah and her, and this picture of motherhood that she presents. It's a wonderful picture and a powerful picture that any mother or dad could look at as an example and do well to remember as both a challenge and an encouragement, especially to you moms and grandmothers here today, as a picture of motherhood. Consider how Rizpah loved her children unconditionally, didn't she? She loved her children. Here her 2 sons were executed like criminals, and their bodies, along with the others, were laid out on this hill. I can't imagine this sight. What a horrible sight. What an awful thing to go through. And yet Rizpah, with unconditional love for her children, went out to that hill. And did you notice what the text said there? She stood watch over them. She did this for 6 months. She did this for 6 months, beginning from the beginning of the barley harvest in the spring until the rains, the autumn rains, first came down and started again in October. What mother does that remind you of in the New Testament who went out to a hill to watch her son die for our sins and for the sins of the world? Mary, doesn't that kind of remind you of Mary, who did sort of the same thing, although not for as long as 6 months? Mary, the mother of Jesus, who stood there, whose love for her son was unconditional as well. Mothers, how do you love your children unconditionally? I think 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the passage there that traditionally is read at weddings, you hear so much at wedding ceremonies, describes it best. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Moms, whether you've already raised your kids or you're still raising kids or grandkids today, you've disciplined them from time to time, just like I was disciplined by my mom and dad, and you've been teaching them responsibility. You've taught them responsibility, but you've done this in a loving way with the unconditional love that you've demonstrated by being patient with them. You've tried to be kind to them always, and you've strived to give them more praises than criticisms, which is so important for a child. And you've strived not to be rude to them, and You've tried not to keep a record of their wrongs. You've forgotten their mistakes. Forgiven and forgotten, and you've rejoiced in the truth for them. You've tried to protect the truth within your kids and your grandkids. You've tried to display honesty and integrity before them as best you can in front of your kids, and you've trusted your kids, and you want them to know that you believe in them and that you trust in them. I like what Rudyard Kipling once wrote about Rizpah's love for her kids, and he was thinking of his own mother's love for him and her unconditional love for him. He said, "If I were hanged on the highest hill, mother o' mine, mother o' mine, I know whose love would follow me still, mother o' mine, mother o' mine." Mothers, just like Rizpah, you've loved your kids, you love your grandkids unconditionally, don't you? You love them unconditionally. And just like Rizpah, you've protected them fiercely. You've watched over them fiercely and protected them. And again, incredibly, from the beginning of the harvest until the rains came down in the fall, which was a period of about 6 months until October, Rizpah was protecting her boys, wasn't she? For 6 months, in the heat of the days, the cold of the night, keeping the vultures away from their dead bodies, and the wild animals that came to feed on their dead bodies. Do you see what she was doing here? She was protecting their honor. She was protecting their honor and from going through any further disgrace and protecting them from further humiliation, protecting their dignity and their worth. It's a scary world out there for young people to deal with. And as we think of our new grandson, Nier, and I, and the world that he's going to grow up into, it's a scary thing to think about, and the way things are headed in so many different ways, and how Satan is out to destroy the faith of young people and their families. He continues to do that. He wants to, more than anything else, steal their innocence. He wants to take away and rob their childhood. He wants them to get to as a course of everyday life, just lie with no remorse and no consequences. He wants them to get to refuse to take responsibility for themselves before God and to destroy their witness for Him. And the greatest thing that you and I, moms here today especially, and grandmothers, the best thing you could ever do for your kids and grandkids is to pray for them. Pray for them fiercely. There was a woman named Monica who prayed for years for her wayward son, that he would come back to the Lord and into his church again. And as he later looked back and reflected on his life, her son said that she watered the tears, the earth with her tears for him. She fasted and prayed and asked God to save her son. She went to the bishop one day and asked him with tears in her eyes why her son, after all of this praying that she had done, was still living in sin and living a wayward life in worldly pleasure. And listen to what the bishop said with these memorable words: "It is not possible that the son of so many tears should perish. Your son will be saved." It took several more years for that to happen, but it did. Her son came back to the Lord, came back into the church. Monica's son came back to Jesus Christ. His name was Augustine. If you ever heard the name Augustine, he was one of the greatest Christian in the early church, early Christian theologians. Monica died at the age of 56, and in his confessions, Augustine spoke of his grief for his mother. He said, "Now gone from my sight, who for years had wept over me that I might live in your," and he was talking about God's sight. The greatest way we can battle for the hearts and the minds and the souls of our kids and our grandkids is to pray for them, pray for their faith, pray for their character, pray for their future. Pray that they would experience the joy and peace of the Lord in their lives. Pray that they would be ambassadors and soldiers for Jesus Christ, loving your kids unconditionally like Rizpah, and protecting your kids fiercely like Rizpah. And then thirdly, sacrificing for your kids unselfishly, your grandkids. What an incredible amount of sacrifice she made on behalf of her boys here to sit on that hill for 6 months. Obviously, she sacrificed her time, her resources, her energy, her strength. Listen to it. G. Campbell Morgan was a great British pastor from years gone by who had four sons who all became preachers. And he influenced, G. Campbell Morgan influenced millions of people through his preaching and teaching and his writings. One day, his young son Howard had finished preaching and a reporter asked him, "Since you have five pastors in your family, who is the greatest preacher?" And expecting him to give all the honor and praise to his father, Howard shocked the reporter by saying, My mother. Mothers, by the way that you love your kids unconditionally, you protect them fiercely, and you sacrifice for them unselfishly. You know what's going to happen in the end? You're going to be rewarded immensely. You're going to be rewarded immensely for all the time and the effort and the resources that you put into your kids and your grandkids. David heard of, as our story said here, of Rizpah's devotion to her sons. And in response to that devotion, what did he do? He gathered up all the bones to give them a proper burial. He did what was right. Her love and protection and sacrifice paid off. Mothers, your rewards are great in this life when your kids and grandkids run up to you and tell them that they love you. And they missed you. And they tell you with smiles that you mean so very much to them and they want to get close to you and how they love and respect you in your life. But listen, your greatest reward is going to be in heaven someday when you're walking through the streets of heaven and you hear a familiar voice behind you. You hear a film and saying, "Hey, Mom, wait up," and you turn around and you see your child or your kids, grandkids running towards you in heaven someday. And they're saying to you, "Yes, Mom, we're here." Your kids say that to you. "Yeah, we're here, and we brought our kids too." We brought our kids too, and they're here. And we're all together in heaven someday. It will be worth it all, won't it? All the effort that you put into their lives, all the love and the concern and the sacrifice that you put into their lives. It will be so well worth it that your mothering job was the most important job ever that you ever did. You know, out of World War II, there comes a story in closing. And of course, it took the lives of millions and millions of refugees, Jewish people. And out of that came the story of Solomon Rosenberg and his family. Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons and his mother and dad were all arrested by the Gestapo and thrown into a concentration camp. And it was in this labor camp where the rules were simple. As long as you can do the work, you can live. As long as you stay on your feet, you can live. The moment you become sick and incapacitated, you're gone. They would exterminate you. Rosenberg watched as his mother and father got in that poor condition and they were emaciated and they were marched off and killed. And he knew that the next one that would happen to would be his youngest son, David, because David was always a frail child. And every evening, Rosenberg would come back to the barracks after he had worked all day out in the field to check on his family. And when he found his family was still safe, they would huddle together and embrace one another and thank God for another day of life. One day, Rosenberg came back and he didn't see those familiar faces. And he finally discovered his eldest son, Joshua, in the corner crying his eyes out. And he said, "Joshua, tell me, it's not true." And Joshua turned and said, "It is true, Papa. Today David was not strong enough to work, so they came and took him away." "But where's your mother?" he asked. And he said, Joshua said, when they came for David, he was afraid and he cried. "Mama said, there is nothing to be afraid of, David." And so she took his hand and she went with him to their deaths. Moms, we've seen a great picture of motherhood today in this text. And 2 Samuel of Rizpah. And that's a great picture of motherhood as well. The devotion and the love, the sacrifice. Thank God for mothers who always stay by their families, always, and never stop praying for your kids and grandkids. And thank God, praise God for your willingness and resolve to give them your very best. And the rest of us salute you here today. We thank you. We praise God for you. Thank you for your efforts. We love you. We thank you. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much for this wonderful picture of motherhood that we've seen here today and heard about, a figure in the Bible that we may not be familiar with, but a woman who was a very devoted mother, a picture of motherhood that, Father, is so very great, and we thank you that she loved unconditionally. She protected those boys fiercely, even in their death, sacrificed for them completely, and we know there's a reward for her and all other mothers like her who have expressed that devotion, that love for their kids, their grandkids. And we thank you for our moms here today and our grandmothers here today, that without them, our families would suffer greatly. Thank you for their love and for their devotion, what they mean to us in our lives. And I thank you for my wife, Niera, and her devotion as a wife and mother and grandmother. We just praise you and thank you for your love that is reflected in this way by these individuals. And your love is so great, and your love is so kind and patient. We thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals this morning and turn to our hymn of decision this morning, our invitation hymn, hymn number 413. Number 413, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And we're going to be singing all the verses, three verses of this hymn as we stand and sing together. Hymn number 413. Thank you for coming today. Thank you so much. Good to see you all again, and be praying for those who could not make it yet and are staying home still. We understand that. We pray for them. We want to encourage them and give them a phone call if you can think of somebody who wasn't here today and to encourage them. I think things went pretty well today, don't you? I think it went pretty smoothly. We'll continue with this probably through the month of May at least, and then we'll see how it goes in the month of June as we get into the next phase of reopening. And so just praise God that we could be here today. Don't forget the candy on your way out, ladies, a token of our appreciation to you. I'm sorry? Take two? Okay. Take two. Okay. The candy runneth over today, huh? Yes.
I forgot to tell
you. Yes, Beverly.
Our wedding is still on the go, June
20th. Oh, the wedding for Stone is on June?
June the
20th. Is that down in Arkansas, or where's that at?
Arkansas.
Uh-huh. Yes, praise. Praise God.
He's bought him a home. They bought him a home.
Wow. Oh, that's great. That's exciting.
They showed me the house, and I'm getting on Facebook with him. FaceTime.
Oh, you're FaceTiming. I
learned how to do that, too.
Did you?
Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for our service today, how it went so smoothly, and just everybody following directions so very greatly. And we appreciate our church family. Thank you that we can be back together again. And as time moves on, we're going to see more people coming back, and we're all going to be back together again completely soon. And just thank you and praise you. Pray for the people of our area again. Those who cannot worship in their church buildings yet, and those who have lost their jobs, as we prayed before, and those who have lost loved ones, we pray for their strength and for their healing. And just we thank you now that we're dismissed with your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing our